Proverbs 17:7, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. Excellent speech is not becoming to a fool, much less lying lips to a prince. A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. He who covers a transgression seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates friends. Rebuke is more effective for a wise man than 100 blows on a fool. An evil man seeks only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger will be sent against him. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Whoever rewards evil for good, evil will not depart from his house. The beginning of strife is like releasing water, therefore stop contention before a quarrel starts. He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike, are an abomination to the Lord. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands in a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. He who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. He who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. He who begets a scoffer does so to his own sorrow, and the father of a fool has no joy. A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones. A wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. Wisdom is in the sight of him who has understanding, but the eyes of a fool are on the ends of the earth. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her who bore him. Also, to punish the righteous is not good, nor to strike princes for their uprightness. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. When he shuts his lips, he is considered perceptive. Unfortunately, all of us can look back and remember distinctly foolish things that we have done. It may be a comment that you made, and it may be a comment that you made 20 years ago. I'm thinking of a comment that I made that's more like 30 years ago that still makes me cringe to think of the look on this person's face when I said this and realizing the insensitivity of what I said. You can think of comments you've made that were foolish. You can think of actions you've taken that were foolish. You just shake your head now looking back. And these are part of our personal histories, part of our personal life. And one of the ways that we know that something is foolish, one of the ways that we define an action as foolish is we ask the question, what was I thinking? Or parents, when they want to point out a foolish action to their child, say, what were you thinking? Did any thought go into this activity? Did any thought go into this comment at all? You clearly were not thinking ahead. You clearly were not evaluating the consequences and the impact of what you were doing. And one of the things that defines a fool is the refusal to look ahead, the refusal to think about consequences, the refusal to think about how this impacts me and how this impacts other people tomorrow and the next day and the month after that and so on. And the fool sets his agenda by doing what feels right at the time. It seemed like a good idea. How many teenage boys have come home from a night out with their friends saying, it seemed like a good idea at the time? And those of you who are laughing are the older men in the congregation who have lived such evenings where you've come back thinking, it seemed like a good idea at the time, and yet it, in fact, clearly was not such a good idea. Well, this is the fool. And verse 13 and verse 18 points this out, that the fool doesn't think ahead. Whoever rewards evil for good, somebody in turn does something nice for them, and they in turn reward that with wickedness. They reward that with unkindness. Kindness is repaid with evil. And what's the result? Verse 13, evil will not depart from his house. When kindness is rewarded with evil, it's a foolish thing. It's a response that does not think ahead, because it brings evil back on the person who has repaid kindness with wickedness. Verse 18, a similar thing. A man devoid of understanding shakes hands and a pledge and becomes surety for his friend. Now, we know from the rest of the context of Proverbs, when it's talking about this, this is talking about people who are quick to make promises, quick to commit, quick to sign up, sign on the dotted line, to make financial commitments without really thinking ahead. And so the fool doesn't think through what is coming. He doesn't think ahead about the life that he is leading. And he doesn't think ahead, verse 21, about the fact that his actions not only impact him, but impact others as well. And specifically, impact those closest to him, as verse 21 and verse 25 point out. That the fool is a burden not only to himself, but to his parents and his family as well. And the fool doesn't think back to the instances that we were just talking about. It seemed like a good idea at the time when I was out with my buddies, but I bet you weren't thinking about how this impacts your parents. What would my parents think? How would my parents feel about me doing this? If I say this comment to this person, how is that going to make them feel? These are all things that the fool refuses to do, to evaluate the impact on himself of the things he's doing, and to think through how this impacts others as well. The fool refuses to live within God's rules. And we talked a lot about in the book of Proverbs about God's laws, and for instance, the law of gravity. That there are certain ways that God's created the world, certain laws that if you repay kindness with evil, in God's world, evil will come on you. And the fool refuses to acknowledge these rules. He refuses to live within this construct and instead just puts his hands over his eyes and says, I can live how I want. And as long as I'm happy, that's good enough. There's the old statement, or somewhat contemporary, you'll still hear it said today, that there are old pilots and there are bold pilots, but there are no old, bold pilots. And what it's saying is if you fool around and, you know, mess with the rules of aviation enough and try to defy the rules of aviation, that's fine. You can do that and you can be a bold pilot, but you won't be alive a long time. And so you have your choice. And the fool refuses to look ahead. And so he is the bold pilot who will not make it to old age. He lacks foresight. And that, of course, conflicts with what the Scripture calls us to And in that regard, think about Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The scripture calls us as Christians to be looking ahead and to live within the world that God has created, and even to live in light of eternity. And without faith, without that kind of foresight and looking ahead, it is impossible to please God. And what we're going to see today is that without faith, without believing the promises of God, without believing the laws of God about the future, that it's impossible to live in wisdom. And so for you to live in wisdom requires you to look down the road of life in faith and to live in faith. Wise living requires faith. And it may seem like the book of Proverbs doesn't use the word faith a lot, does it? It may seem like the book of Proverbs has very little to do with faith. It actually has to do with works, and it doesn't have a lot to say about trusting God. But the reality is that almost every verse in Proverbs is talking about living by faith and requires us to walk by faith, to trust God, to believe His promises, to believe in Him and the way that He's created the world. Wise living requires faith. And wisdom and the faith required for wise living is exemplified in the life of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Foresight. Choosing righteousness instead of wickedness every single time. That's what Jesus did. That requires belief that what seems good to me now, what seems like it would feel good, what seems right to me right now, is not always right. Choosing righteousness instead of wickedness, even though wickedness seems attractive. Choosing service over selfishness. Think about the life of Christ and how often he chose to serve people and to minister to people instead of choosing selfishness and just looking out for his own well-being. Choosing the cross and death instead of personal comfort and enjoyment. All of those are wise actions that Christ took, all because of faith to believe the promises of God, to believe the leading and direction of Christ. Even, we've talked a lot in Proverbs about, and we'll talk some more today, about knowing when to talk and when to be silent. Notice in the interactions that Jesus has with people throughout his life, there are times that he answers the fool according to the folly, and there are times that he does not answer the fool according to his folly. And so Jesus demonstrates the faith, the looking ahead that is required for wise living. Another example of this is Moses, who chose to esteem the reproach of Christ greater than the riches, greater than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. And so God calls you, if you're going to live in wisdom, if you're going to walk wisely, it requires you to have faith. Let's think about the Beatitudes for a second. The Beatitudes. Blessed are those who are doing things that don't look very profitable because, in fact, they will be blessed. Right? That's in essence what the Beatitudes say. Blessed are those who are willing to be persecuted and who will face persecution for righteousness' sake because they will be rewarded. Blessed are those who are meek, who humbly forego the opportunity to be angry, because they will be rewarded. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, who maintain purity, because they will be rewarded. And so, walking in wisdom requires you to believe that God is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That God will reward you even though, and will bless you in following after Him, even though right now it doesn't look like the path of wisdom is the wise course. Even though it looks like the path of foolishness is the fun, enjoyable, rewarding, you know, the best course for me right now. And so wisdom, walking in wisdom, requires faith. It requires looking down the road of life and trusting that God will keep His promises. When we got our new van, new to us, of course, a few years ago, I had to learn a little how to drive. And the reason was I would be on the road and realize this van seems like it doesn't corner very well. It seems like I'm always having to make these adjustments with the wheel with this big van. What I came to realize is that with the bigger van, and this is maybe a wheelbase issue or something. If Eric Lysak were here afterwards, he would explain to me all the physics involved, I think. He's that kind of he always does things like that for me. But I think it may be because of the bigger wheelbase. I have to look, when I drive our big van, I have to look about 50 yards further down the road and focus a little further down the road than when I'm driving a smaller car. It's just the way it drives better that way. I can steer better. Well, God is calling us in the book of Proverbs. He's calling you to make decisions and to live not based on what's right in front of you right now. That ends up with foolish behavior. But instead to look down the road of life by faith as you evaluate and make decisions. Now there are three specific areas that the passage that we've read this morning points out that we need to look ahead and live by faith. And in so doing, these are areas where we demonstrate wisdom by looking ahead. The first is that you need faith to maintain justice. The temptation that all of us are faced with is perverting justice. To pervert the rules when it seems advantageous for me or for my friends. Right? We can get away with this. It seems like it's more fun. It seems like it's more profitable for us if we pervert the rules. The short-sighted response is, what difference does a little bribe make? Really? You know, it's just a little bribe. It's not a big deal. What difference does a little lie make? It's not a big deal. What difference does it make if we bend God's rules just a little bit? It's not a big deal. That's the way that the fool looks at the world. And we see that in verse 7, that when it says, it's talking about justice, when it says that lying lips are not becoming to a prince. And it's concerned here with the justice that's maintained in the kingdom. And verse 8 then builds on this. Now verse 8 at first glance, especially if you're reading in the New King James, doesn't seem to have anything to do with justice, does it? Look at verse 8. A present is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. Wherever he turns, he prospers. It seems to be talking actually... And actually, the context, when we read that in the New King James, it seems to be talking about an engagement ring. And Sean, because he spent some money on a precious stone, got his way. Was able to make some progress last night. And Dan was able, he bought his precious stone a few years ago. And so that seems to be what it's talking about when we read it here. But it's actually a very poor translation. The word there, present, is a word that throughout the Old Testament is consistently translated bribe. And consistently, actually the context in other passages points very clearly to the fact that it is a bribe. Okay? So this is actually talking about a bribe. Now, a bribe is a precious stone in the eyes of its possessor. What's it mean? Well, that word precious often is translated magic. And if you play video games, it's like the person giving the bribe thinks that they have the free life or the, you know, the key that unlocks the door in level two or, you know, that sort of thing that goes along with these games. So the bribe is a magic stone to unlock doors. And then it says, in the eyes of, right, in the eyes of its possessor. But that in the eyes of is also a key phrase in Proverbs. And you're familiar with it. It's the fool is wise in his own eyes, right? We're familiar with that, in his own eyes. The lazy man is wise in his own eyes. And this is used a lot through Proverbs in 12:15 and 16:12 and 21:2. So what this verse is really saying is, a bribe is a magic stone to the fool who happens to think that giving bribes away will help him. He's convinced, I'm adding that in there, he's convinced that wherever he turns, he will prosper. He's convinced that this bribe is going to cause him to get his way and to accomplish all his dreams, whatever he does. But the bottom line is, verse 15, he who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the just, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. The scriptural reality is, and then verse 23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. The scriptural reality is that turning aside justice to the right or to the left, either being too liberal, too conservative, showing a little favoritism to the poor, showing favoritism to the rich. Either way is what? An abomination to the Lord. Now, why is this important? It's important because for the person who's foolish, it's so attractive to pervert justice. It's for my good. It's so, you know, a bribe is beneficial to me in the short run. I line my pockets. I can afford things that I wouldn't get otherwise. But in the long run, this is an abomination to the Lord, and it undercuts the entire system of justice in a land. And the reality is that we live in a nation that is undercutting its own system of justice daily. We are moving forward and undercutting what is right and what is wrong, because instead of, as a nation, being willing to look down the road and say, what is right and moral for our nation to be doing, and we will do it even though, you know, even though, let's say let's have a truthful and honest monetary policy, well, that's going to hurt us in the short run. That's going to hurt my consumption. So let's just keep doing what we're doing. This will keep everybody happy, keep the voters happy in the short run, instead of looking ahead and saying, in the long run, this has some severe consequences. And you can apply that to all sorts of areas of our national life and of our state life as well. Justice, carrying out true justice, requires faith. Requires faith, because the bribe that can benefit me today, the decision that can benefit me in the immediate future, if it's out of accord with God's principles, is going to steer a nation right off the road, right into destruction. And one application then is that we need to pray for leaders who would be wise leaders, who would be willing to look ahead, not 2 years to when the next election is, or 4 years or 6 years, but would be willing to look ahead 100 years, 200 years. What's good for the nation? What's right in the sight of God? And that sort of leader, to have wise leaders who will do that, means that we need leaders who are full of faith, believing the promises of God, and believing the Word of God. Justice requires faith. Now, we also see in this passage that learning requires faith. And listening requires faith. Once again, and you can't get to chapter 17 in the book of Proverbs without recognizing that one of the characteristics of a fool is that the fool will not listen. The fool will not absorb instruction. And we have that once again in verse 16. Why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price of wisdom, since he has no heart for it? Why? We watch It's a Wonderful Life on Friday night, and there's a line in there where a guy on a porch yells down, you know, it's, youth is wasted on the young. And that's what this verse is saying. People who have the opportunity to learn, who are given by God the ability to absorb material, who could grow in wisdom, will not listen and will not learn. And it's, why is the ability to learn and the purchase price for wisdom wasted on the fool who will not listen and absorb wisdom? And why won't fools listen? Because they lack faith. They lack faith and foresight to believe that God has wisdom for them that can come from other people. In our adult class, as we've been talking about the change that can happen in community, one of the things that's required if we're going to change through community is the belief, is believing that you all have wisdom that I need. That you all have insight into life, insight into how I could do things better that will make my life better. And wisdom calls us to listen to that and to absorb that and to change out of faith that I am not the sole possessor of wisdom. That you are not the sole possessor of wisdom. But the fool won't listen. He's committed, in fact, to his folly so much so that he's a danger. Verse 12 tells us he's a danger. We know he's a danger to himself, but also to others. Let a man meet a bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. The fool is a danger to those around him. And the fool needs to learn what? What does this passage tell us that the fool really needs to learn? Well, we started out with excellent speech is not becoming to a fool. It doesn't fit, is what it's saying. It's an ill-fitting garment. It just like lying lips to a prince are ill-fitting. It doesn't fit with who the prince is and what the prince needs to do. It doesn't fit the character of the fool to have excellent speech. And so what does the fool need to do? Well, verse 28 tells us that even the fool can be thought wise when he holds his peace. Another translation says, even a fool is thought wise when he keeps his mouth shut. And the fool needs to learn to close his mouth and to listen. And if he will do even that, people around him will start to think that he actually knows something. Even that little step of closing his trap will cause people around him to think, huh, that guy maybe knows a little something. And so we need to ask ourselves, do we hear rebuke? Are you somebody who listens to instruction? Are you looking by faith to grow and change and learn from other people? Because talking and spouting off always seems like a good idea at the time. It always seems important to say what I have to say. It always seems right to make sure that everyone hears my contribution to the discussion. Because if I don't speak, how will people know what is right and what is wrong? The world is reliant on what's in between these two ears. That's what the fool thinks. It seems like a good idea at the time to share what I'm thinking. But wisdom and faith require us to say, I have things to learn. There are things that God wants to teach me. And I can learn those things by listening. So faith is required for wisdom, for wise living. Faith is required to show the wisdom of justice. Faith is required to show the wisdom of learning and listening and absorbing from other people. You see, lastly, that faith is required for the wisdom of love and of friendship. It takes faith to be a friend to other people. And the passage points that out in several different places. It says, I can't find the verse. Oh, verse 17. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times. There are times in friendship when it is very easy to love our friends. There are times when people are very lovable. Babies are very lovable. Except at 3 a.m. It's very difficult to love babies. Babies are very wonderful to have around. Except when they have earaches and they can't tell you what part hurts and why they're crying and crying. And it's very difficult with babies to do this. And it's true in friendship too. There are times when it's just great to be around other people. When it's just easy to be friends. But a true friend loves at all times. And you know that from experience. That there are times in life when you can tell who your real friends are based on the way that they will be faithful to you and hang with you and love you even on those days when you are a bear. Even in those times when it's not so easy to be a friend to you. And people can tell if you're a true friend to them by your willingness to persevere with them through the difficult times. And I think that we all know that the difficult times of friendship are not things like being a friend to the McHenrys this week. And in a sense, this is the easy time to be a friend of the McHenrys. Because we know what to do. I mean, it can be difficult to know what to say to them, but there's a warmth and a closeness, and we want to be close to them at a time like this. But there are other times in relationships when it's much harder to be close to people. And one of those times that this passage points us to very specifically is, it's a difficult time to be a friend when our friend sins against us. And verse 9 talks about this. When it says, he who covers a transgression seeks love, But he who repeats a matter separates friends. Isn't that true? That when someone sins against you and wrongs you in some way, is unkind to you in some way, that's a time when it's very easy to say, I don't need to be a friend to you. And to betray our friendship by going around and making sure that other people know about the insensitive remark that was said to me, about the unkind act that was done against me. And we feel in those times when we're wrong, the urgency of getting supporters, right? We want to caucus. You know, I was wrong, and now it's a good time to caucus, right? Let's gather the troops and let's make sure who's with me and who's against me. I want you to hear my side of the story first. Now, why when we're sinned against, in order to cover the transgression instead of repeating the transgression, why is it necessary to have faith? Well, it's necessary for us to have faith that God will keep His promises to set all things right. We're going to sing from Psalm 9 in a few minutes. Psalm 9, verse 4 says, "For you have upheld my right and my cause. You have set on your throne, judging righteously." Somebody slanders you. Somebody gossips about you. And it gets back to you that they've lied about you, that they've destroyed your reputation in an organization, at your company. They've perverted your character. And the natural response is to say, I've got to correct this. I've got to rebuke, you know, I've got to set things straight. I've got to spread, you know, rumors now about this person to make it right. The scripture calls us to faith to say, no, God will uphold my right and my cause. My reputation is safe because Jesus Christ will protect it. Romans 12, 17 to 19, repay no one evil for evil, have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Well, how can we do that? Why should we not repay evil for evil? Because, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And the whole book of Revelation is given, or this is not the only purpose, but one of the points of the book of Revelation is to assure us that God will set these things right in the end. And the reason that we have trouble with verse 9, the reason we want to repeat a matter and separate friends is because we don't really believe, do we? We struggle with faith. Will God really defend my reputation? If I don't spread this word, if I don't get even with this person, then they'll get away with it and nothing bad will happen to them. But God calls us to believe His promises that He really will take care of us, that He really will uphold my right and my cause. And once again, we find assurance that this is so because not only does God say it, but He did it for Jesus Christ, didn't He? He upheld the right and cause of Jesus. He raised Him up from the dead when Jesus had been unjustly murdered and put to death on the cross. The Father will do this for you. Another place where we struggle with faith and friendship is in verse 14. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. I always love driving down think it's 219, going down past Johnstown. You look off to the east side of 219, and you don't even have to get off the road, and you see right there where the Johnstown, where that dam broke that flooded out Johnstown. There's a great illustration of this. You let the water, as soon as that water started going over the top of that dam was done. It was just a matter of time. It was going to wash out. Well, that's what this verse is saying. As soon as you let the water start flowing, as soon as you promote contention and division and problems, watch out, because a full-blown quarrel is going to break out. And once you let that water go, you aren't going to be able to gather it back in. Now, why does that take faith? Well, the reason it takes faith is because in the midst of contention, in the midst of disagreement, I want to make sure that I get my way. I'm going to push my point so that I get my way. And faith requires me to say, you know what, I'm going to be better off, and you're going to be better off if we don't keep on upping the volume level and the quarrelsome level and the disagreement level in this fight. We're going to be better off by faith. We're going to be better off if we just calm down and let it go and resolve things peaceably. So let's not begin strife. And let loose the flood of contention. A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. Wisdom requires faith. And that's true really in all areas of wisdom. We could look at other areas of wisdom from the book of Proverbs and make the exact same point. Wisdom requires faith. But specifically this morning we see that wise justice requires faith. Wise learning requires faith. And wise friendship requires faith as well. The fool doesn't care about the curves coming up in the road. He's content just to look at the here and now. To make decisions based on it seemed like a good idea at the time. And as we started out, we talked about our situations and our foolish actions that have been based on, it felt right at the time. I thought it was funny to say this. I thought it seemed adventurous to do this. It seemed fun to my group of friends. And that leads to foolishness. But God calls you to look at the world through eyes of faith. And to look ahead and to look at the promises and the laws that God has built into the universe. And by faith to claim those promises. And to believe that as we do, that as we live, and that as you live wisely in matters of justice and learning and friendship, that God will pour out blessing on you. So look down the road. Look down the road of life and faith. And thereby live wisely. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the book of Proverbs. And we thank you that you love us enough and care about us enough to tell us that certain roads and through life lead in destruction. And that there are other roads that you've opened up to us through the work of Christ in our lives that lead to blessing. And Lord, we ask that we would follow paths of wisdom. Lord, we recognize our lack of faith. And it's so often that we are unwilling to believe that things will be better for us if we follow your commands. Forgive us for that, Lord. Build our faith. Increase it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.